I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion. Fashion.
Hey. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's the worst day in the history of days today outside. So it's we are snuggling in the basement.
Weather-wise.
It is so bad and windy and rainy, and there's like a storm warning.
It is the wettest I've ever seen. I live across the street from the beach, and you can literally see channels of water carrying the beach away. Oh, it's horrible. So we're snuggling in the basement.
Yes, we are in a doors.
Yes, I did not bike over today like I usually do. Not a chance in hell.
No, yeah. As soon as Katie walked in, I'm like, please tell me to.
I was like, fuck no. Good God.
No thanks.
No thank you. Oh. Anyway, hi everyone.
We're back.
This is Fashion Hags.
It's here.
We're here. We're back. We're here. Everything's happening. Just as you can imagine.
After the fun of the last episode. It's back to kind of
so
regular
fun.
Programming. Because last episode was so fun.
So silly. So fun. We are shifting gears back to the absolute undeniable seriousness of this podcast.
Yes.
We're back to straight up, no jokes, no bullshit.
No.
We're taking everything extremely
educated,
seriously.
Informed, serious, no swears.
No swears. No dick jokes, no matter how
facts.
Bad we want it to.
No fake news.
Just facts. The facts. Yeah, just like how we always do.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, all right. Evan, what's going on? What's new, friend?
I've been in rehearsals for the last 2 weeks for a performance that I just did last night.
Ooh.
We're in the time machine, so this is will have been 4 days.
The weekend before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was Louis Riel Day celebration that we performed at, and I've been putting...
If you don't know who Louis Riel is, look him up.
Just do yourself a Google.
Give it a Goog.
And then, yeah, I've just been putting my body through it. I injured myself like halfway through the rehearsals.
Cool.
Which was nice.
Did you deal with that?
Mm-hmm.
But now I get to be on the mend.
That's what happens when you start doing things in your adult life that you did once as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, I used to do this all the time.
Yeah.
It's no big deal. Mm-hmm.
When I was 16.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And invincible.
Exactly.
And fearless. And plastic.
Yeah.
And had time to recover and just sit around and like get better.
Yeah. Yeah. And didn't have like a 9-to-5.
And a mom to take care of you.
Yeah, exactly. Didn't have like the chauffeur and the chef that is my mother.
Yes. Oh, man.
Yeah. I hear myself.
But.
Well, now you can rest. How was the performance?
It was wonderful.
Yeah. Was it a big theater?
It was at the Kulch, which is the historic Kulch. So, like, the really beautiful theater with, like, all the gold gilded.
Yeah. It's a real beautiful place here, like, in Vancouver.
The red velvet chairs, that kind of environment. It was really nice. I like being in theaters because it makes me fulfill that fantasy of being in, like, a proper theater.
Of performing, yeah.
Of being a performer,
absolutely.
Which I get to do now. It's not a fantasy anymore.
Nice!
How many people do you perform, like, how many people are in the dance
in
group?
The company?
Yeah. The company.
Eight
pregnant.
Together.
Eight.
Including me.
Sweet.
Yeah, and then...
Yeah, is it just Métis dancing, or is it a bunch of things?
We did a contemporary number,
okay.
which was completely out of my comfort zone, because, like, I never...
Let's not...
Never had classical dance training before, so
yeah.
There was a lot of, like, hey, we're going to do a slight jeté here and a catch step, and then we're going to go into this roll and this kind of jump, and then, like...
You're like, cool.
I'm like,
great.
Can you just show
You're
me
like,
that?
Oh, you do it first.
You do it first, and I'll follow suit, okay?
Can you just remind me real quick?
Yeah.
Looks like, real quick.
Yeah, just, like, right off the top, I had to do, like, a backwards, like, roll, like a somersault.
Oh.
Not like a full-on, like,
sure, backflip.
But I had to, like, roll back on the ground and, like, fling my legs back, which I've never been good at. Like, when you grow up with glasses, like, you're constantly protecting your face.
Right, of course.
And you never want to, like, crash.
Yeah.
Or, like, curl your body up.
Have
and,
your
like,
knees near
have your
it.
Legs go over your head.
Yeah.
So it took me, like, literally the 2 weeks to, like, get comfortable doing it. And, yeah, it was really fun to do that kind of number. Never done anything like that before.
Cool. And now you've done it?
I've done it.
Would you do it again?
And it's not so scary anymore. It's,
yeah, I want to, like, yeah, I'd like to take some other kind of dance classes, which would be nice.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. And then you do Meitu dancing too?
And then the Meitu dancing, of course, which is like breathing to me.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then
I saw your little outfit.
My little costume.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, on my story. Yeah, on my Instagram story. Yeah, you don't do stories.
The ladies look great too.
Oh yeah, they have like the whole opening number is called Daughters of the Country, so it's about like Métis women and like how their lives were like and everything. So the women, it was all very women centric, and the men were kind of just like in the background, which I was 100% here for because I'm not comfortable in that kind of space anyway. But
well, that worked out.
It all worked out. Yeah, it was a really good like soft exposure to that kind of performance.
There you go. Get your toe
dipped in the puddle.
Dip.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Abby, what about you? What's happened? What's happened on your end?
It was my birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday!
That was good.
Abby, it's your birthday.
So I'm super low-key with my birthday. I don't like doing anything because I can't be fucked to like plan ahead or like organize anything. So whatever. Like we went out to dinner and it was just because my sister-in-law offered to take our kids and suggested it.
Oh,
I was
hallelujah.
Like, oh, awesome. Yes, please. I would never think or want to bug. I'm like, I don't want to bother you. But mind you, then she's got three kids. Her sister who lives next door has two kids. And then we had two kids. So Jill was stuck with seven kids.
Good God.
And they were all having a blast. And it was totally fun. And Jill was totally on board. So thank you, Jill. But it was insanity when we picked the kids up.
I bet.
We'd like pack their pajamas and they all had baths together and had, you know, dinner all together. And they were jumping around in Jill's bed. It was hilarious. And then, of course, the super meltdown and it was time to leave. Because that's how it works.
Naturally.
Yeah. It was way past their bedtime. But Dave and I had a lovely dinner. We went down to a place in Gastown called Salt, which is one of my favorite places.
I've never eaten there.
All they do is cured meats and cheeses.
Ugh.
That's all they do. And like fancy condiments. If I could just
eat. Fancy snacking.
Yes. If I could just eat blue cheese and honey on bread forever.
Blue cheese, eh?
Blue cheese and honey.
Thank you on the blue cheese.
It was the one we had last night was a very subtle. Like it wasn't like a
super stinky.
Yeah, weird. You know, part your hair,
curl your toenails.
Yeah, exactly. It was very subtle, and then this beautiful honey from the Similkameen Valley, which is like up in the mountains here, on this like bread, this crusty baguette, and then some other like
that's fancy one thing I'm sad about
meats. And
yeah,
things. It was so good.
My husband doesn't eat red meat.
Oh.
He doesn't agree with him.
Yeah,
so we eat chicken and fish and stuff, but.
Every once in a while.
What I wouldn't give for like a big old charcuterie play with like the pastrami and, you know, prosciutto and all that. I mean, we still sort of can do that, but
we had a truffle salami last night. Ooh, it was good. And what was the side? Cornichons? Because they give you like, they pair everything with a condiment. So there was like a fig jam and cornichons or some onions or whatever. They were like soaked in balsamic vinegar and stuff, so you can mix and match and things, and it was fantastic.
I love snacking.
It's my favorite.
Yeah, and I had these white anchovy like appetizer, so good, like just like it was like pepper flakes and olive oil, beautiful buttery anchovies.
There's been so multiple times where I've had either Triscuits or simple rice cracker with a boursin or cream cheese and smoked oysters for my dinner, meal.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's the way to do it. Yeah. That's one of my preferred ways of eating. So this was fantastic. And then earlier in the day, we'd gone to the East Side Flea, which is like a really cool flea market. It's more like a market than like a flea market.
Yeah.
It's more like artisanal stuff and vintage clothes. This is where you fought Parker Posey for that snowsuit.
That's right.
And I took Margot down, my 3-year-old, and we took the bus. She was very excited to take the bus. And we went around and looked at all the stuff and played with the pinball machine. And Margot bought a little, like, succulent, named it Sally. Like, great. My friend Sally thought it was awesome. Sally's on board. So that was fun. Dave got me such a great new coat. Oh, I'm so excited. This Uniqlo down coat.
Oh, nice.
It's,
It's so great. I've been probably needing a new coat for, I don't know, 5 years, but just haven't gotten around to it. And then the last two out of three winters, two out of four winters, I was pregnant. So I'm like, I'm not going to get a new coat because I'm going to be fucking pregnant. So I've just been waiting and waiting. And then I trekked all the way. The only Uniqlo we have in town is out in the burbs at a giant mall. So like maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, I went out there, took my three-year-old again, took her on the train. She went apeshit on the train. She thought it was awesome. Took the commuter train out. It was crazy insane at the mall because like Christmas season has just started. It was packed. I find the jacket at Uniqlo. It's great. I tried on. Awesome. Super excited. Coat, color, size, everything's great. And then I go to pay and there is, I am not joking, 100 people in line to pay. I'm not even joking.
Ugh.
There's literally a poor person working there holding a huge sign, like a picket sign saying end of cashier line, because it's woven so far past the like
the stanchion.
Yeah. Jesus. The like waiting area for the tills that it's like way out this. So I was like, I just need to look at it. And I'm looking at my kid and I've told her we can go to Toys R Us once I do my errand, and then we'll go. And I'm like, there's no fucking way she's going to stand in line with me. What am I going to... I will easily be in line for half an hour, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, well, put it back on the thing. Get out of there.
Can you buy it online? Like, they don't do it online.
Canada, unfortunately. But then my darling, darling husband, he needed something at Uniqlo. He loves their socks. So we went to go load up on socks, and he got me the jacket. Because he went on like a Tuesday morning at like 11 or something. There was nobody there and it was fine. And I told him exactly the one where the color, the name of it, where it was in the store. And it just appeared on the coat rack when I got home that day.
Oh, man, you're a good man.
And it's so warm. Uniqlo does not fuck around with their down stuff.
No.
I kind of have been meaning to kind of go out there and
make a trek
to check out their down stuff. Yeah.
Because they got the really like that thin layer down too, which is really nice. But this one is like a full winter. Like, because after last winter, our winter here was like the most strange winter, actual winter that Vancouver's ever had. Like Dave remembers like maybe one. Dave's lived here for 37 years. He remembers one other year where it was like that essentially. And it was so cold for so long and none of my jackets were cutting it.
I hate that.
Yeah. I think I was super pregnant too. So Dave had a big like duffel coat, like the classic British wool ones. And I still had like a big wool sweater underneath and I was kind of okay. Mind you, I wasn't going out a lot either. So I was thankful for that. But so this year I was like, you know what? I just need to get a real coat and get rid of all the other ones that are like, kind of work on some days, but if it's raining, I need to wear this one. But if it's this one, and then this one I can wear with a sweater, or this one I can wear with a big scarf. It's like, you know what? I'm just going to get one coat, spend good money, get it from a place that's going to do it nicely, and just get rid of all the other bullshit H&M ones that I've been shuffling through.
Is it long? Is it like knee length?
It's like knee length, yeah, because I like coats that cover my butt.
Yeah, I need a warm coat.
They had shorter ones too, like a car coat, like a short one. But I got one that's, like mid-thigh.
Yeah, I kind of need one.
It's real nice. Comes in purple, blue, light gray.
I might have to go to the mall. I refuse to go to. It's so brutal. Damn you, Uniqlo.
Damn it, Uniqlo.
I went to Metrotown last week because I was going to go and see Murder on the Orient Express with my brother.
Oh, yeah. The movie theater there?
Yeah. And we got there and it was fucking mayhem.
Ugh. And it's just getting closer to Christmas and it's going to get crazy.
I was just thinking maybe I'll go on Monday. What am I talking about? It's like Cyber Monday craziness.
Yeah, maybe not next Monday.
Maybe not.
But definitely a weekday. I'd recommend a weekday, that's for sure.
Yeah, maybe Monday. I don't know.
I don't know, you guys.
I don't know. Well, I just got back from LA.
Speaking of the worst weather of all time.
I just got back from LA. We went to LA for 5 days. Had a little getaway. It was so fun. Stayed with my brother and sister-in-law down there. They live in West Hollywood. And they live in a place that's...
Mitch, who does our theme song?
Yes, Michelle. That's the very one.
Same one.
MichelleCarterMusic.com. Actually, I'm going to give a quick shout-out. She and her friend Melissa, who works at Paramount Studios. Melissa gave us this amazing tour of Paramount Studios. It was so fun. It was like off the books. It wasn't part of a tour group. It was just
you guys.
You know, the four of us hanging out, and she knows everybody on the lot. It was super cool. I took a couple pictures for you, Evan.
Oh.
There was, like, she pointed out where the original gate was, where they drive in Sunset Boulevard, like that whole huge scene, yeah. Like all the little points to note. She's like, oh yeah, this is what happened there, and this is this, and this and that, and blah, blah, blah. So that was cool. And but anyway, she and Michelle are doing a podcast that comes out on the 11th of December.
Oh, awesome.
And it's called Rockabye's, I think. And it's about basically like mysterious deaths of famous singers and people in the music industry and stuff. And I've seen like a preview of it, and we'll post it on the blog, but it looks super, super good. I'm really excited.
Oh, that's awesome.
I can't wait. It's like right up my alley. I was going to say Hollywood
and murder mysteries.
Murder, yeah. Like, doy. Yeah. It's,
let's check out really the boxes excited. For Katie.
So we'll put up a link for that and keep your eyes open for that. It comes out in December. But anyway.
Oh, so exciting.
One thing that I for sure wanted to do while we were down there is we happened to be able to go on this weekend. It was the second Sunday in November, which was the Rose Bowl Flea Market, which is like the biggest flea market, like it's, least in LA,
yeah.
Maybe the West Coast. I don't know how, it's enormous. There's 800 vendors.
Holy cow.
It's like in the parking lot of the Rose Bowl football stadium, which is basically enough room for 100,000 cars, essentially. It was so big. We had to like put on blinders. We didn't even go into the main clothing section. Wow. So I was like, we'll be here for...
We're never leaving.
Like, that'll be it. Like, we won't get to see everything anyways. And without like something in mind, you could just wander through there aimlessly for days.
Yeah.
For days.
Yeah. Endless
so we're like,
hours.
I won't put you guys through that. My husband doesn't love crowds and doesn't
not
love
super interested in that sort of thing.
Yeah. Anyway, so we had a couple of like ideas of things we wanted to find. We wanted to get something brass for our anniversaries, our 7th anniversary. So we found these amazing singing bowls that are like,
so
fucking cool. So we've got
They're
one of those.
Beautiful.
But we had like a few things in mind just so we could like tailor our experience a little bit.
Focus
and
here.
Not just completely like glee. Like, so I wanted to see if we can find a nice like Southwest woven like Navajo rug or that kind of Southwestern style rug. And there were tons of them. But we didn't find one that like either fit in the price range or fit the size that we were looking to fit or that would have fit in our suitcase to carry back. So we didn't end up finding one, but I'm sorry, we didn't end up buying one. We found many that were amazing. It was really cool. And there was, just amazing antique furniture. We found our dream couch down there. This like 1960s, mid-century.
So
gorgeous.
Awesome.
Like, amazing. Just so fun. And everything, like, there's something for everyone there, for sure. Like, if you don't really care about flea markets, there's still something. You'll still find a booth or something that you'll find interesting, for sure. Mm-hmm. It was cool. It was really, really fun. I definitely want to go back.
You're going to do it back a few times.
You got it. But it only happens once a month. It's like the second Sunday of every month. So it just happened to coincide
with
this
being there.
Yeah. So
good,
I was like,
timing.
Guys, this is what we're doing on Sunday. I don't care what you say. This is what we're doing.
This is where I'm going to be. I don't know what you're going to be.
Yeah.
This is where I'm going to be.
If you guys want to drive me, that would be great. Because it's in fucking Pasadena. So it's not easy to get to. But it was awesome. It was really, really fun. And then like on the Monday before we left, we went out to Malibu and had this amazing picnic on the beach with like waves crashing underneath and this amazing view and the Pepperdine University and all these fancy houses and the campus and stuff.
Yeah.
It was so pretty. It was awesome.
Very cool.
And Monday we went down to LA or down to LA, downtown LA, and just went to like 10 bars, 10 different places. We went through little Tokyo and it was super fun. Yeah. We had a really good time. It was a lot of eating and drinking.
Getaway. Well, then there you go. What else are you going to do? Eating
perfect.
And drinking in a flea market.
Yeah. It was great. Highly recommend. Will go again.
Yes. 10 out of 10. Yeah. Would recommend.
Would recommend. Yeah. Yeah. It was good. Good.
Awesome.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Well, now we've caught up.
We're caught up.
We can get to the crux of the matter here.
We should have done your Kiki last because what we're talking about this week is Black Friday. So speaking of
and this, shopping and sales and insanity and
this long snaking line,
and there wasn't even like a sale, or like I'm sure there was stuff on sale, but like it wasn't even specifically a crazy event or something. Oh, I don't think.
Oh, weird.
Unlike Black Friday. Fucking
Black Friday, which is now evolved into Black Friday,
pre-Black Friday,
Small Business Saturday and Sunday,
Cyber Monday,
this whole shopping event that started basically the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, because everybody was off in the States, because if Thursday's a Thanksgiving, there's nothing to do on Friday. So you stores would say, come on in,
actually,
go shopping.
The reason that it started, like the reason that it got its name is... I looked this up because I was quite curious about it, and it was not what I expected. But in like the 50s in Philadelphia.
Is it that old?
Then the term Black Friday is.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
But it refers to the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving is on a Thursday in the States, which is weird to me. But in any case.
You get a super extra long weekend, I guess.
Yes. And so that Friday in Philadelphia in the 50s. Or 60s turned into this crazy day for all the police because the police sort of came up with this nickname Black Friday because a gazillion people would come into town on that Friday because it's the holiday weekend.
Yeah.
And it was total chaos, and it was coming into the city for a massive Army versus Navy football game on the Saturday that happened every year.
Okay.
The Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So the Friday was like chaos, just shitloads
so
of
many people everywhere.
Cops
going crazy.
Were not allowed to take the day off. Everyone had to work.
Yeah.
It was just a disaster. And there was lots of shoplifting because there were so many people just like adding to this bullshit with the cops.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they came up with this term, or it sort of evolved into this term Black Friday, like fucking Black Friday.
Yeah.
The cop, because it was crazy. It was just chaotic. But in the 80s, they sort of wanted to revamp this term because it had stuck and it wasn't a good thing.
News. Yeah.
Yeah. So they wanted to sort of revamp what this term meant. So they decided, this isn't even a true thing, but they decided that the Black Friday should refer to that day on the retail calendar where their sales, retail sales hit the black. And they get out of the red.
Gotcha. Interesting.
So that's basically, it takes until November for stores to start making a profit. And so that's what they decided
what they figured
Black Friday should refer to. Now, that's not what it actually means, but that's what they decided
they refer retroactively
to.
Sure.
And then that sort of turned into a marketing campaign, but not until like the 80s, like years and years and years.
Decades
after
later.
And then it sort of caught on nationally. I actually found a bunch of this information out online at, I forget where. Somewhere. A website. I found a website somewhere.
Online.
On the World Wide Web. have you guys ever heard of it? But yeah, so it wasn't even true. It wasn't even... It was like, yeah, let's just call it this now because we don't like this other thing.
Yeah.
But...
And turned it into a marketing ploy.
Yeah, and then it sort of caught on nationwide, and then they sort of sold this concept of turning your accounting from red to black. Huh. And to see it as a sort of a positive thing, and with discounts, basically with discounted shopping.
Yeah.
And it started the sort of holiday shopping.
Big kickoff season.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't know just because maybe we're in Canada and it just hadn't come here, or I don't know, but I'd only like maybe the last six, like less than 10 years.
Yeah, for sure less
than. That I remember hearing about it. And they say now it's on the decline.
Mm-hmm.
Like its peak was like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and now
things are changing,
but it's still making shit tons of money every year.
I think maybe the day specifically, the Friday specifically, maybe isn't as big as it was because it sort of spread out over that few days.
Yeah, because now
it's like a different
buffered.
Kind of a thing now. But in Canada, it was always Boxing Day.
That's our sale day where people go nuts. Mm-hmm. Like
the day after Christmas.
Yeah, the 26th. That's where people go crazy, where all the big sales on. Where I still remember deals I've gotten years ago. Like, they're so good.
We used to get, like, if we got a bit of money from my grandma or something for Christmas or in our stocking or whatever, it was like, that's what you go shopping for. Yeah.
My parents would always spend, like, the same amount of money on me and my brother. Whether, I got one thing and Alex got 10 things or whatever. Like, the monetary amount was the same. But Alex always got more Christmas Day because I always got, like, $100 or something.
Right. To go shopping.
For shopping on Boxing. And that was also the gift was that I got to go shopping.
Yeah.
Which is like the best gift for me. Yeah. You ever wonder what to give me? A gift certificate, the gift of shopping. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll do.
So that was always how it worked at our house because Boxing Day was such a big deal.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if it's on the decline. I mean, maybe it is.
I think the in-store ones. Like, I think the days of people at Best Buy and Walmart clamoring over each other and people dying, getting
trampled.
Fighting
each other for a cheap TV.
Yes, I think those...
Or a fucking parking spot. There's, like, stories of a guy getting shot in Texas over a fucking parking spot at Walmart.
Gosh. Yeah. So I think those days maybe are not...
I'm curious to see what happens this year, because I looked at some stats for previous years, and the spending, just out of curiosity of, like... Yeah. Why is this such a fucking big deal? Like, why do people care so much about it? But, like, we have at our business, like, at where we work, there we have a countdown on our, like, on our back-end dashboard.
On our website.
Our online store.
Yeah.
Countdown to Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And it started, like, 2 weeks ago.
And that's not us instigating it. That's the platform saying, hey, Black Friday is coming. Figure out what the fuck you're going to do with it.
Because people will be looking. People will be shopping. But anyway, so in 2015... I got this from statisticsbrain.com, and I think these stats come from the National Retail Federation, but in 2015, 135.8 million people planned to shop on Black Friday.
Wow.
That's like a third of the population. That's
wow.
The spending in store in 2015 on that day, on Black Friday specifically, was $67.5 billion in store. And 2.93 online.
Wow.
So I wonder...
That's going to flip, probably.
How much that'll change. And that has grown. So in 2014, in-store was $50.9 billion, and online was $1.5 billion. So it's basically doubled in a year, the online shopping.
Yeah.
Between 2014 and 2015. In 2013, it was way higher. It was $57.4 billion in-store. So it actually went down in 2014 by just a measly $7 billion.
Oh, well. What do you do?
But the online store was a little lower than it was in 2014 at $1.35 billion. So between 24 and 2015, the online shopping doubled.
Wow.
And I didn't find any stats for 2016 on that. I'm sure they're out there somewhere. But I'm curious now to see how that changes online. And like if it doubled in a year.
That's how a hell much, of a, like that's exponential. Like that's insane.
Yeah, it grew like 2% between 2013 and 2014 and doubled between 2014 and 2015. Almost $3 billion just online.
Yeah. I mean, that's like a weird like microcosm of what's happening in retail, right?
Yeah.
The things are changing from brick and mortar stuff to online and people having to rethink how people are shopping, how people are buying, how to get products to people, how to advertise products to people, you know, like how to switch that, start online stores or beef up their online stores or close their brick and mortars entirely and just go online. Like they'll have to
I'm curious to see what I was really surprised at how high the in-store numbers were for 2015, $67.5 billion in-store, which is way higher than I would have expected. Basically, like especially from 2014, which was just over 50 to 67. That seems insane to me. But it's also things like, one of the things that's like an appeal about the Black Friday sales in store is that it's these door crasher deals.
Yeah.
So lots of stores, I guess, will do like a loss leader on like electronics and stuff to get people
in. So that's something they will purposefully price that they will lose money on to this specific item to get them in the door. And then they can, because when you have a store, a normal markup between wholesale and retail price is about 2.5. Between 2.5 and 3 times, that's usually what you pay for as a store owner, what then you would sell it as. But depending on what the item is, you can fudge those numbers a little bit. Sometimes you only double it, sometimes you can quintuple it, depending on what it is. So if you have something like a TV where you can not essentially make such a profit on it, but then hike up the price on something else and still have it, quote, be reasonable price. Mm-hmm. Like I used to work at a store and the clothing was, I don't know, probably between 2.5 or 2.5 or 2.8 markup. But then the jewelry was super cheap and it would mark up the shit out of it because $30 was still a decent price as a consumer, what you would pay for this necklace, but we paid $5 for it.
Mm-hmm.
But the dress, we paid whatever, $75 for it, and we would charge you $200 or whatever.
Right.
So the lost leaders are something you will purposefully price under what you would normally to just get people in the door, to get their attention, to then also buy other things while they were there that you can actually make money on.
And things like TVs and electronics have been like the significant draw for a lot of people. Like, I think the electronic side of thing has been a massive
game part. Consoles, TVs, mm-hmm. like, and things like Walmart, where they will purposefully buy lower quality, lower priced things just for Black Friday that mm-hmm. they don't carry the other times of the year, because you can get a plasma TV for, I don't even know, plasma TV is still a thing? I don't even know.
I'm sure we're 100% behind.
I'm sure there's a newer technology. For totally on top of it. Whatever it is for.
Or LED.
$3.99 or something. And then you think you're getting such a good deal, but you're not getting the like fancy Samsung one. You're getting like some weird,
some weird off-brand
Chinese
you're getting
bullshit.
The Samsung one.
Yes.
I'm like, what? And then you buy it at a discount, and then you can't return it.
Yeah. But then they get you in the door. They send you the email. They send you the flyer or however advertisements. They get you in the door for this TV, and then while you're there, well, you're not just going to buy the TV. You're going to buy a bunch of other shit too.
And another thing, I read this interesting article too, and I was researching for this episode, and it was about how people think that they're getting such a great deal. And it was basically about your finances and how Black Friday can fuck up your finances and how much holiday spending can cost so much money and be quite
just super damaging. Detrimental to your credit.
To your credit
or whatever,
and just debt, just your overall debt.
Yeah.
And they had found that people who go shopping and perceive that they're getting a great deal or like 30 or 40% off of something, they'll buy more. So they'll exceed their budget.
Yeah.
By buying more things at a discounted price. So they are spending more than they would normally if they're paying full price.
Sure. Yeah.
So if you.
Because it's such a good deal.
Because it's such a good deal.
Three.
So, well, this one is on sale too. I'll get these two things and it'll cost, you know, a third again as much as I was planning on spending, but it's getting such a good deal, I have to do it kind of thing.
I'm saving
you're spending,
money.
You're spending way more money than you would if it wasn't on sale, and you're buying stuff you probably don't need to be buying.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, the basis of our entire culture.
It's just crazy how the psychology of that works.
Yeah.
You know, like it's straight up, like they're manipulating you.
Mm-hmm. Completely.
Yeah.
I find that kind of thing so interesting.
Yeah.
How people get so wrapped up in Black Friday, and these, like, you hear these horror stories from the States about these stampedes and people getting shot over a fucking
fighting
Elmo
and
doll
exactly,
or
yeah.
whatever. That was when it first, like, I remember that.
Yeah.
Tickle Me Elmo year,
mm-hmm.
and people were losing their fucking mind, pulling guns
flying.
On
yeah.
people in stores, killing people in the parking lot for a parking spot. It's bizarre to
me. The frenzy, the mob, and
it's fucking crazy.
Just feed that energy. Just
capitalism,
feeds
into
itself,
man.
Right? But also, the point is, like, you don't have to participate. No one is making you.
Yeah.
You know, like, you have all the dollars in the world to make your voice heard. You know, like, that's the easiest way to share your support for something is by financially.
Yeah, and this whole frenzy. Like, I understand. The holidays are coming and you do need to spend a lot of money because you, between gifts and hosting parties or going to parties and decorations
travel.
And travel and things like, yeah, there's a lot of money flying around. So of course, people who are selling things are going to want to get as big a piece of it as they can. So it puts such a strain on the like logistics and operations of retail stores to get the product. To source the product, to ship the product, to house the product, to put it on the floor, to have the staffing. You have to hire, not only do you have to hire new people, you then have to organize the staffing and who gets what where. And then especially if you're people like Walmart and you won't let people work overtime and you got to like rejiggle a whole bunch of people to like carefully calibrate how many hours everybody has. So you're paying people the minimum that the law legally allows you to to cover your bases. But like it's insane. Yeah, the supply chain, the inventory, the staffing, the store design has to change because you're getting such a different variety of products and different amounts and you have to make it look appealing. And like it's such a huge deal for stores to have to flip into on, this yeah. mode and have to like figure out how to make this work for themselves. It's just, yeah, I read somewhere that they have to fit in essentially 4 months worth of sales into 4 weeks. That's just like, yeah. they're trying to make as much money as they would in 4 months as in 4 weeks.
I usually discounted things.
With yeah. discounted merchandise. Yeah. So you have
with
to sell
sales.
More volume.
So you have to sell more volume, yeah.
Yeah. To be able to make sure that you're in that black.
Yeah.
And like, that's when like they plan product that they buy or they make specifically for it to go on sale. Yeah. Planned obsolescence.
Yeah. Or planned shit.
Yeah. Just
like
planned
H&M
garbage.
Will purposefully make a bunch of shitty low quality t-shirts that mm-hmm. will be $4.99
or
$2.99
or $2
whatever.
They're
right?
regularly $4.99.
Yeah.
And like that stuff that you
so you're not getting regular stuff on sale. You're getting shit.
You're getting shit.
Yeah.
That stuff
that
they
can purposefully
like,
price low.
Yeah. In the line, like they have those. Basically, like trays of stuff that you walk through, like as you're walking into the checkout
yes.
in the lineup.
POPs. That's what we used to
yeah.
call
POPs.
Point of purchase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like shit like
TJ Maxx has, or like Marshalls and Winners or
yeah.
Sephora.
They have like
so much
full aisles of just shit.
Junk.
And it's like, put a sign on it that says stocking stuffers and you'll
boom.
Spend
and everyone's like,
garbage.
Oh my God, I need to do stockings. And they're like,
yeah, $6 later.
To, yeah.
Uh-huh. It's nuts.
You get yeah. a bunch of junk in your stocking you're going to throw away come February.
Yeah. I don't love stocking.
Just give
I mean,
me
I
candy.
Like stocking. Yeah, I like candy. I want candy and tiny bottles of alcohol and socks.
Yeah.
That's like, what I want.
I was like
some
planning.
Fancy chapstick. Maybe.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Maybe like more of my brand of lip balm and mascara. That's yeah. nice too.
Sounds great.
I like those.
Useful things.
I know when you were kids, it was like toys and, you know, shit and garbage and whatever.
Yeah,
and now it's like, you know, travel shampoo and like a thing of Band-Aids and
yeah,
like
exactly.
shit that you actually will use.
Yes.
And like the shit that's like an annoying thing to buy, but you're like, I guess we'll get this. Like,
yeah.
Also, lotto tickets. We do a lot of the scratch and
nice. My mother-in-law, and I can say this because I'm pretty sure she'll never listen to this show, just find stuff around her house. Like, straight up. I'm like, this is just a picture frame you've had with picture of Dave from grade 11 in it. And that's what's in my stocking this year.
That's amazing.
Or like shit that's like a spork.
Yeah.
When the fuck am I going to use a spork? Thanks?
Thanks, I know. Wow.
Okay.
It's going to go right in the drawer.
One year she gave me a headlamp. I'm like, what am I going to... I ended up years later using it to go running in at night because I would run in the evenings and it was the wintertime. So I actually... But like years later. So I just had this headlamp.
I know.
What am I going to go spelunking, Jane? Like, what's happening? What am I going to... I'm going to find the remote under the couch. I'm going to read a book after dark. Like, what am I going to do with this headlamp?
You're going to go into a mine?
Yeah, seriously.
You're a mine. You do mining.
I do a lot of mining.
You're a mine hobbyist, right?
Yeah.
Hobbyist miner?
Yeah.
However you say that.
Yeah, that's what we're called.
That's a real thing.
Hobbyist Minist Association of Canada. Yeah, that's us. So, anyway, back to this junk you get in your stocking. But
we
yeah.
just did a thing with our stockings that were like, this is a bit of a tangent, but, or a sidebar.
This is a serious episode, Katie. There's no
I'm sorry.
It's a joke.
You know what? You're right. Forget I said anything. No, I remember when we were kids, like when we would get presents and stuff. Like from Santa, like Santa came and filled our stockings.
Yeah.
That and like the surprise and the magic came from like him sneaking
him
in and,
there.
You know, getting yeah. us these gifts and that we didn't know he came, like, you know, it was this mystery.
Yeah. You never saw him.
But we never got gifts from Santa. He just filled yeah. our stockings.
Yeah.
So our gifts always came from like our parents or our grandma or our aunts and like all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
So there was never like this huge thing of, you know, getting all this shit from Santa, which
yeah.
I think is such a bad, it's a bad idea. I think it's a bad precedent to set for kids that are like, kids will go to school and be like,
yeah.
oh, I got all this cool shit from Santa. I got a new Xbox and a this and a that. And other kids are like, well, I got
and little Ricky's got like, yeah.
I got a
top teddy bear.
And a Kinder Surprise and a teddy bear. It's like,
yeah.
why doesn't Santa like me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that's a rough, I don't know, the perception.
Yeah,
of
there's
Santa
been some talk on like mom or like parenting Facebook groups and other parenting media about trying to put the kibosh on that.
Yeah.
And don't let your kids get
big gifts
from Santa. Like, he'll fill your stocking, he'll give you a couple other things,
yeah.
but then it's, don't put that on Santa. Because
yeah.
Santa visits everybody.
And also, you should learn how to be thankful to real human people for giving you a thing.
And not some magical man.
Some guy breaks into your house at night.
While you sleep.
While you sleep.
Eats your food.
This is someone you should call the police.
Drinks your milk.
Every other circumstance. Some old man.
Weird man.
With a sack full of shit just broke into my house. I don't know about this. Oh. I do not know about it. But anyway, that's another.
That's an aside. Oh, man. But like, they're trying to cram so much of these sales in. Like, I got an email this morning. I get Joe Fresh, which is a local kind of fast fashion brand here in Canada. And I just was quickly flipping through it, and it said, Black Friday sale ends today. And I was like, wait, what? And then I looked back, and it was the pre-Black Friday sale ends today. Because now retailers are having to back up that beginning of the quote holiday season to try to max them out and, like I said, ease up that supply chain a little bit and move product not just jammed into that last month and try to stretch it out a little bit more. And to be honest, people be like, oh, holiday starts too soon. Don't put the Christmas trees out yet. What eats Christmas music already? But for a counter argument to that is you can spread out your holiday spending too. Mm-hmm. Like you as a consumer, you don't have to jam your Visa and go overboard and go crazy in 1 month. If you can spread it out over an extra 3 weeks or an extra month or whatever, right? It makes sense on one level for everybody, for the consumer, for the retailer, for the suppliers to try to spread that out a little bit. And you start, at the beginning of November instead of the end of November.
Especially when, as you say, like travel can be a huge cost for a lot of people. Yeah. At least, I mean, in the States, it's easier to get around. Like if you're flying somewhere, there's
just more availability,
cheaper flights and there's more options. If you're flying anywhere in Canada over the holiday season, it is $1,000.
Yeah. It's a nightmare.
It's insane. So, and that does not include gift for grandma, gift for mom, gift for dad, gift for brother, gift for sister.
Eating
gift
for out, hotels, rental cars,
find
whatever
beer,
else you need
boo,
to do.
Like all that kind of shit. Yeah. Which is the best part of the whole season, in my opinion.
Absolutely. That's the fun part.
But it adds up really quick. So like, I don't know, we do this thing at our place where a few years ago we started this. Actually, basically when Chris, my husband, sort of came on the scene, I was like, a regular event.
Yeah.
Regular. He's not going just a supporting home. Character.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He's featured now. When he sort of joined the Christmas team, it was like, well, he doesn't need to buy a gift for my sister, a gift for my other sister, a gift for my sister's husband. Like, that's dumb.
Yeah.
To ask. That's him a lot to come ask. In.
Yeah.
So why don't we just do an open Secret Santa and the limit
hats
is $100.
Out of name out of a hat or whatever.
Stockings are, stocking starters, you can do it. I mean, Santa still comes. And the kids, I have a niece and a nephew, they chose not to participate. So everyone can get something for the kids and they can have like a really fun.
They get a bunch of presents.
Whatever, they get a bunch of shit. But it is the best. It's like $100 maximum. You get something that's way more thoughtful, usually something that's a little more meaningful that maybe
special.
You wouldn't get for yourself.
Sure, absolutely.
And you're not spending $100. You're not spending, $40 ten times
over
on some dumb shit that they're probably like just so that they'd have something to open.
That's no good.
Kind of shit is not. I don't support that. I think as a consumer, you can make much more meaningful choices if you have a focus and
if you have a monetary limit
and a
specific person in mind. You don't have to just like go to a store and just get, oh shit, I need six things.
Yeah.
And who cares what they're for and what name you put on them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then
you can buy something of more value and more quality or something. And then the money that you're saving, you buy gin.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
put it in the gin.
And some good hot chocolate, not the Nesquik. Get the nice stuff.
Get the nice stuff, for God's sake. Or you just get the peppermint schnapps and you keep
you
the
just
cheap
put
shit.
It on. Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
That's a good way. We realize on Dave's side of the family, where he has a bigger family than I do, and now that there's nine grandkids,
oof.
We realized that like we were essentially just giving like gift cards to each other to like just like recycling.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you $50 to this and you're going to give me $40 or $30 to this and whatever. And he was like, you know what? We don't need, I don't
need a J. Crew gift card. Like, I just want to go to J. Crew and just buy what I need.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just give all to the kids.
Yeah.
So we don't even buy presents on Dave's side of the family for the grown-ups. I think we give something to Dave's parents just because they do a lot for us the rest of the year. So we don't buy them a set of steak knives or whatever, something nice.
And like a hosting gift.
Is yes, exactly. Nice. Yeah. But as far as the grown-ups, like, I'm not going to give Dave's sister because it's just whatever. We're cutting our losses and give it to the kids because they're the ones that are going to go crazy. They're the ones that are going to love it. They're the ones that's going to they're the ones going to break immediately and they need something else.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, definitely.
They're going to they're be given the exact same thing and they're still going to fight over it.
True.
Truth. It's the holiday season. That's how it works.
How it works. Do you guys do shopping on Black Friday? Is it something? Because I usually do my best to avoid it. But if there's something that's like, oh, I've had my eye on this thing, because I'm way more like,
yeah,
conscientious shopper now. So if there's something that I really like that I can't afford or it's a little out of
keeping
my budget,
your eyes on,
but it's good quality or something, if it's on sale on Black Friday, I'm going to jump on it. But I'm not going to just blindly go to Walmart and find a deal.
And throw money around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys, I don't think you guys are like that either, right?
No,
I rarely buy anything new anymore.
Me neither.
Unless I'm buying online. The things I buy new are like books and fabric.
Yeah, I fabric.
And food.
You're going to want that
food.
New.
Food is good.
You're going to want that fresh.
I want new food.
Yeah. Always get
fresh. Always new food.
You don't want no bargain basement. Lettuce and avocado.
From last season.
Oh, God. Lettuce that like green rubs off on your hand when you pick it up. No, like I kind of like look online and see like what the deals are. Like I get a couple of like e-flyers
and it's true. I'm
and
way
stuff.
More interested. I'm way more all like open to the Cyber Monday than the Black Friday.
Agreed. Yeah.
Like I would way rather shop online at home for like, I know I've gotten great glasses on sale because they had a Cyber Monday sale. I got a cool pair of glasses of like $45 or something, or new bras or like something that, like you said, like you wouldn't necessarily throw $70 at for a new bra. But if I can get them on sale for 40 on Cyber Monday, I'm going to do that.
I'm going to do that. Yeah. It's true. It is a good, I mean, everybody needs new things sometimes, right?
Yeah.
And if you can get a good deal of it and let your money stretch a little bit farther, then fucking Godspeed.
Because there is a way to take part in the sales, but not be part of the monster.
Madness. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of online, this did not surprise me at all, but I on this same place where I on the statisticsbrain.com where they had the top online retailers. So this is not going to be a surprise to everyone, but the number one online retailer, and this is American, I should note, the number one online retailer in terms of specific people going and
numbers,
like specific hits, number one is Amazon. Not surprising.
That's been swimming in my brain since we started talking about this.
Yeah. Amazon. And this was, I think this is 2015 that this stat was from. So Amazon is number one with 7.95 million people specifically shopping on Amazon on Black Friday.
Yeah.
Number two, not surprising, is Walmart, but it is only 4.15 million.
Oh, that's like
so
half.
Amazon is almost twice.
Yeah, almost double the amount.
Which is, I mean, I guess it's not that surprising, but that's a shitload of people.
Yeah.
Like that's crazy how much power
that
they
is.
Have yeah. in the online retail market. It's fucked.
And they're only getting bigger because they're just buying more properties.
They just bought Whole Foods too.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I think that just has a lot to do with like the fact that you can order something and have it delivered that day or next day.
Yeah.
Like that power is like
that Amazon Prime.
That instant.
Oh man, it's nuts. The deals you get, the things you get, how quickly you can get it.
I gotta say, I do not care for it.
Oh man, it's nuts.
I think it teaches people really bad habits.
Yeah.
And it sets an incredibly high standard for the
little
guy.
For other people,
You're fucked. You can't compete. You can't compete. And like, you can just get taken advantage of so easily by just going to this one place to get this one thing when you could probably find it cheaper somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
If you looked around, you probably find
just
it.
Go do it.
Just
get
go
it.
Do it. Leave your house and go and talk to a human at a store and give them reason to be employed.
Yeah.
You know, it's bizarre. But Best Buy and Target were number three and four. And number five was Apple, which I was surprised by.
Interesting, because they don't have sales.
No.
I guess they just have a bunch of shit you want and
I
need.
Guess.
They like, just have, like, that.
Because Apple stuff's never on sale.
No.
Mind you, they do sell things that aren't Apple, and maybe those are the ones that are on sale. I don't know. Because like, they sell like headphones that are not
they're Michael Apple Kors
branded or whatever.
Phone
like
cases. Fade,
yeah.
The cases, the things like that. So maybe that's what it is. But like the MacBooks are never going on sale or whatever. But it's interesting how like maybe we can branch off to see what people are doing in reaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because REI started years ago saying, fuck this shit.
That's
stay
right.
Stay home. Go outside. Spend your time with your family. Don't shop with us on that weekend. We will not be offering sales.
And we
don't want your money those days.
We talked about this last year, too, with Patagonia.
Yeah.
They
same kind of thing.
Donated 100% of their profits. They were shooting to make like $1 million in the one day, and they made like $7 million or something insane. And they donated all of it.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, if you're going to shop on Black Friday, shop with us and put your money somewhere responsible.
Yeah.
And they did. It was insane.
Now I'm wondering, like, what did they have to gain by not making any money on that day? Is it just making like their unit, like the amount of units that they sell look better? For like investors, or is there anything
you mean
that
Patagonia?
They had? Yeah, is there anything
or is
that pure
branding? Even?
Yeah, it was probably more of a branding.
I think it's
point thing
branding and marketing for sure. I think with a company like Patagonia, who is extremely unique in this situation,
yeah, they're doing their own thing on a lot of levels.
Want to do good. Yeah. I think they want to change the conversation, and hold other. Retailers like themselves to the same standard.
Yeah, and accountable.
Because
yeah.
like,
yeah,
you
the
know,
rest
we're
going to
make
year.
$100 million in the year,
yeah.
no problem. This one day, we don't need it. Here are a dozen places that need this money
yeah.
that we actually stand behind. I don't think Patagonia is a public company either.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be. Well, they
don't have a lot of outside influence.
Yeah.
And REI is a co-op.
Yeah, so that's a different business
so
model
it's
too.
A different model. As well.
Yeah.
It's not Target. It's not the North
Walmart,
Face. It's not
Amazon.
Walmart.
It's not huge, all-consuming, profit above all.
Yeah. And
yeah.
I think Patagonia
Beasts.
Is usually an exception to the rule.
To a lot of things. Yeah.
Because I think they're private. Don't quote me on that, but I'm like pretty sure. I mean, if they had shareholders, the shareholders would never stand for it. So I can't imagine that they
yeah.
are a public
that
company.
That they would let that happen. Yeah.
But I think they genuinely want to make change and want to set an example that like... Yeah, we can do this. And not only can we, but we fucking have to.
Yeah,
like,
we are behind it.
Change.
Yeah.
yeah.
On
so,
principle.
Yeah, I think.
And it's a lot of those. Yeah, REI, Patagonia, North Face. They're like a lot of these like
well, it's
brands with, yeah, that have that association with the environment or outdoors or exercise and health and well-being and lifestyle things that are trying to be a push for that as opposed to something like Walmart where it's just.
Unbridled
capitalism
money.
And consumerism
yeah.
on every level. Shit yeah. you don't need that's going to fall apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just going to weigh you down. So.
Remember that lettuce that I talked about
yeah.
earlier? That the green dye rubbing off on your hand? Walmart.
Some of that. Yeah.
Walmart brand. Yeah.
And then there's other things like, was it Small Business Saturday or Sunday or whatever? Like where there's,
yeah.
and there's the big push. Like I know a lot, I have a couple friends who work in retail and around this time of year, my friend Julie, she made a post the other day. Please spend your money
on local businesses
yeah. where you can, your money will go so much farther and be so much more meaningful to that clothing store or that bookstore or gift store or whatever around the corner than giving it to Amazon. You're keeping people employed. You're keeping families fed. You're keeping people clothed.
Yeah, there's always
going
to be
economy
people
going.
Shopping at Amazon.
Yes, you're paying for parking, which goes to the city, which then is used for infrastructure. Like there's so many levels of it.
As small of a level as like you're paying this person to keep herself employed so she can put her kid in daycare.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like all those little things that you don't think
so
of
so she can afford to volunteer at some sort of charity on her day off or whatever.
Or whatever. I mean,
whatever it is.
Countless examples. But
instead
yeah.
of paying for some asshat's holiday bonus.
Yeah,
Walmart.
His third yeah. yacht.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like when Walmart makes extra money, it doesn't go to the people who actually work in the store.
No, in fact, they actively keep it from them.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
yeah. They make a point.
So I got an email from another store called Eugene Chu, which is here in town. It's like
I love Eugene.
Oh,
Chu.
It's like real expensive.
Never been able to afford a single thing there.
$400 blouses, easy, but they're beautiful.
But they have my Varnay glasses. I might have to go get my Varnays.
I have to go throw some money at them. But they have a thing this year where they are not having any sales on Black Friday or this whole weekend. But if you take clothing to this specific charity, you will get a coupon for 15% off that you can spend at their store.
Really?
Yeah.
What is the charity?
I forget what it is. I got an email about it.
Because if that works on accessories, I'm going
to
go buy my
might have to go get those sunglasses. But it's a great idea. You take these coats to this charity.
That's amazing.
They will issue you a 15% off coupon that then you can go use at any time. It doesn't have to be this weekend.
I love that.
To go and spend at this store. Which is a really clever way to do it.
That's a really good idea.
Everybody wins. The charity gets their stuff. You get the 15%. They get your business. Like, everybody involved benefits from the situation. I thought that was ingenious.
Might I say that that's conscious consumption under capitalism?
Yes, it is.
# conscious consumption.
But it's interesting how that psychology, it's people are finding workarounds or people are finding a flip side to it. You know, trying to, because at the end of the day, Eugene Chu still has to make money. They still got to sell stuff.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you got money to spend.
And the end of the day, you probably have a coat you don't need.
Yeah. And also, you got a bunch of coats you don't need. I just talked about earlier, I got a bunch of coats I got to get rid of.
Shit, that's a good idea.
Bunch, you know, they're still in decent condition. They're not fancy ones, but they're, you know.
I'm going to do that.
They'll still work.
Yeah, forward me that email. I've been drooling over these sunglasses for so long. They're so nice.
So it's interesting to see these reactions
more
to it.
More things like that.
And people being clever about it. And conscientious and conscious about that sort of thing and how to, because the machine still has to go and the economy still needs money, you know, and it still needs to work. We've set up the system for ourselves. We can't abandon it.
Yeah.
But we need to find new ways of navigating it. So it's nice to see. And Walmart can eat a bag of dicks.
Yeah, fuck Walmart.
And Amazon, you know what? And Amazon
I'm not
too.
Afraid to say it. I'm not afraid.
Come at me, bro.
Bring it.
Amazon.
Bring it to Walmart.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
You don't need my money.
Fuck you and your Koch brothers too.
Get bent.
We should. How's our timing?
We should be wrapping up this part of this podcast.
Let's obsess for a bit.
Let's do it. Let's
take
a break
and obsess.
You're my obsession. I just can't sleep. You're my obsession.
Can we just say quick for the record? R.I.P.
Oh,
Ripalea.
Quick moment.
Totally as a designer.
Totally important designer.
Oh man, I went down.
That was a tough one.
I went down a real rabbit hole, real Google image rabbit hole, and just kept scrolling.
And he's this big.
He's
like
so
a
tiny.
Dave,
I'm like, was he really short? I'm like, yeah,
he's tiny. Yeah. Put him next to Grace Jones, and she's.
Oh yeah, the Grace Jones alone. Yeah.
The purple jersey. Yeah.
Yeah, the James Bond. Oh my gosh, it was unreal. He invented the bandage dress. All the other pretenders to the throne.
Mm-hmm.
There's some like awesome, like Stephanie Seymour from the 90s, and she's got these big boobs, and they're all she's just fantastic.
All the bustiers,
all the leopard.
All the leopard image was beautiful. All of my Instagram gays and my art hoes were just posting over and over and over again on their stories all these Alaya photos, and I was like, I don't even need to go on my Google my Google tribute. I can just do it, and they're right here.
Yeah, just go Instagram.
Yeah,
go nuts. Yeah, that was bitter.
But I always swallow. Like, the Alaya boutique is always one that I go to when I go to like a Nordstrom or The Room or something, because that was that's where you're gonna see the real quality.
Just
shit.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I can see where he would have had an effect.
All of the Alaya vintage is gonna be like through the roof.
Yeah.
Totally.
Absolutely. Yeah. That man knew how to dress women. Holy shit.
RIP.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
Rest in power.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
Now that we've all obsessed about Alaya, as you should too. If you don't know who he is,
Google.
We can get to our own obsessions.
Who wants to go first? I do.
Okay, go for it.
I'll go in the middle.
Okay, I'll go last.
Well, I sort of touched on mine a little bit last episode. But since going to the airport and needing a book for the airport and for the layovers and for a vacation, I picked up Mindhunter after watching the entire series on Netflix. So good. The show is so good. It's beautifully shot. It's dark and weird, but it's not, it doesn't show any horrible crimes being committed.
Yeah.
There's some disturbing content, to be sure, but it's not like, you know, gruesome horror show. It's not like watching a Tarantino film. It's like really beautifully done and put together. Anyway, so then I picked up the book that it's like sort of based on, also called Mindhunter, by the author who's...
by the author whose by name the author, is whose name coming I have to me right here.
No, John E. Douglas is his name. And he's the guy who in the show is sort of the younger, basically the main character.
Yep.
And it's loose, the show is more loosely based on the guy. Like there's definitely things in the book that are shown in the show, but a little out of order or a little bit of, you know, some liberties taken with the timeline of things. And his relationship with this girl is not the same. But like the character itself is basically him. And it is so fucking good. I devoured it. I read it in like, it's like, a paperback kind of thing. It's not like a super in-depth, you know, behemoth of a book. But I tore through it. It's really good. If you liked the show, I recommend the book. If you like true crime and if you like the sort of psychology of serial killers and murder and all this like super dark, fucked up shit, check it out. It's a really good read. It's a really interesting perspective on the FBI and on how they
this job and
treat, you know, serial killers and murder. He also was like absolutely for the death penalty. In most cases.
I guess he sees the worst of the worst.
He sees the worst. And he has some really interesting perspectives about rehabilitation and how most of the time with serial killers anyways, there is no such thing as rehabilitation. Parole, he's like, fuck your parole board.
Yeah, it ain't gonna work.
These guys are professionals at convincing people that they are not monsters. They can do it to a parole board just as they did it to the 10 people
all
they
of their
murdered.
Victims.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
and their family members and their teachers and everybody else their whole life that they've tricked.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not like he's, you know, he obviously has a great deal of sympathy for the victims. He doesn't have a great deal of sympathy for these murderers, which is good. He has a really healthy perspective of like, these guys are fucked up. They did some fucked up shit and they can't be fixed. So let's, you know, there's a few cases where you can, you know, relearn things. But it's about like kind
changer,
of predictive.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's super, super interesting. If you're interested in like the psychology of that super gruesome, horrible shit that people do to other people.
Exactly, that whole segment of society. Yeah.
It's really interesting. I found it really interesting as like, as also someone who's interested in true crime, but as a woman who's become more and more interested in this kind of thing and podcasts and true crime podcasts especially, but books and whatever. In my feminist brain, like how other perspective of like, this guy's for sure a feminist in lots and lots of ways.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have to outright say this is it, but like these murders happen primarily to women.
By men. Yeah.
So let's fucking figure it out. Anyway, it's really, really good.
Very cool.
I could not put it down.
Well, I'll add it to my list.
Day and a half.
Yeah.
It was really good.
I will add it.
Don't read it right before bed, maybe.
Maybe read it more in the morning.
Afternoon. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's a lunchtime read.
It's a sunshine read.
Yeah.
Commute. Lunchtime.
Yeah. Not in the dark. Not a nighttime commute. Don't do it on your way home from work when it's getting dark.
You got to walk that extra
when you're
couple
by yourself.
Blocks. Yeah. To your house in the dark.
No. Big mistake. But it's worth a read for sure. If you like the show, check out the book. It's very good.
There we go. Inside the FBI's Elite Serial Crime Unit. Adding it to my read list and my Goodreads app right now.
Yeah, I bet you'll burn through it.
Want to read. Excellent.
You have a book in front of you.
I do. I have two kind of. One of them is really, really easy. I'll start with that one. It's, I actually went and saw the Murder on the Orient Express.
Oh, yes.
The movie.
Mm-hmm. That's Agatha Christie, right?
It's Agatha Christie. Poirot. Love. It's Hercule Poirot.
Oh, yes. Impronounceable name.
Oh, such a beautiful film. You think it was going to be dull?
Beautiful.
Because they're stuck on a train the whole fucking time. But the way that they staged it, like the train like stops on one of those like wooden like bridges, like in the middle of a valley, like in a mountain. Yeah. So there's like that kind of like tenseness that they're like,
this bridge.
They're on that bridge, and like they can get off the train because there's like a little like cliff on the side of the mountain that like goes down into like a staircase that like goes down to the like through the bridge. Ooh, like spooky. Down to another thing, and it just like it created a bit more like dimension and stuff. But the costumes are so beautiful. Like everything is like 1920s like luxury on the Orient Express, and like all of the different characters.
I heard I heard a thing about, what's her name? Rey from Star Wars.
What yes,
her?
Daisy Ridley.
Daisy Ridley, yeah. Thank you.
I love her. She's very lovable.
I read a thing, I forget who the costume designer was in the film, but they have all these amazing vintage suits and outfits and stuff, but she's allergic to wool.
Oh.
So they had, and like, not just a little bit, but like, if it touches her skin, it'll like break out into a rash. So they had to like line the ever living shit out of these garments if they were using any of these like old legit vintage garments. And they just like had to make a whole bunch of stuff for her that wasn't wool. Cause if it touched her skin, it was like, makeup, we gotta get her in here.
Yeah.
It was like a major challenge, but she like totally.
Interesting.
Yeah, and like Michelle Pfeiffer is in there, God, yes. And Judi Dench. Like the cast was amazing. Penelope Cruz.
Ooh la la. Mm.
Oh yeah, it was just like
eleganza.
I highly recommend it. Awesome. It's so cute. Then at like the end of the movie, he like gets off of the train, and like some porter or something comes up. He's like, "I have a telegram from you. It's from Egypt. Like, there's something happened on the Nile."
Oh,
so it's like
the next.
Are they gonna do Death on the Nile?
Yeah.
Which is also an amazing movie, like the classic one with Bette Davis and Maggie Smith, like battling it out the whole movie.
Oh, amazing!
So good. And who else is in that one? Mia Farrow.
Oh, wow!
In like this 70s version of 1930s glamour.
Oh, nice!
You know, which is so good. Yeah, but my main obsession has been very different. Also, a piece of literature. It's called A Recognition of Being, Reconstructing Native Womanhood. It's like, it's 100% like an academic text. Like it's written in that way, but it's very conversational because this book was written by an author, academic named Kim Anderson, where she interviewed 40 Native women about their experiences of being a Native woman in Canada and the United States. And the thing that I'm taking from it a lot is...
Look at you with your highlighting and everything. This is a chicken handbook.
Okay. That one that you find at the used, like the book warehouse or whatever, and you're like, yes, take it.
But it's interesting to see what this person is highlighting.
Yeah.
Because obviously this was for a class, so it's like...
Sure, it was part of the curriculum or something.
Like all the things that are hitting me is so much different than what this person...
Good point.
You know?
Yeah, interesting.
It's like more of the academic.
Sure, they had to write a paper about this.
Exactly.
Whereas you're reading
I'm reading it for my knowledge. Own experience and the knowledge, yeah. But there's so many instances in this book where people are saying things that I can apply to my own history and my own life. And especially like this, like Kim Anderson takes a lot of like theory from queer theorists as opposed to like male Native studies.
Okay.
Like indigenous men who write about Native studies and about Native women in particular. She finds that like the language is a lot more like it correlates more to like a woman's experience, especially for like two-spiritedness and queer people. But there are just like, well, basically like the book is called A Recognition of Being because she was having a conversation with an elder named Shawnee Campbell Starr, and when she was starting out, she asked her about the role of Native woman, and she replied that phrase didn't sit well with her. She's like, I have difficulty with that word role. As she gets older, she sees it as a recognition of her existence. A recognition of her existence as a Native woman is what her role is, like.
Just being recognized
for everything that she contributes to her community.
As a Native woman.
As a Native woman.
Right.
And that's like that. It's like if Oprah would say that's an aha moment. Like you just have like something clicks in your brain. And
then
like,
everything flips.
Everything kind of flips around and it just changes the way you. And like, and it was like right at the beginning of the book. So you get to read the book through that kind of like point of view.
Hmm.
But there's this one passage where she talks about how her white passingness has helped her. She says her Euro-Canadian heritage is, she's like, I cannot overlook the a significant part of my year Canadian heritage as the privilege, because of the privilege it has afforded of me. Even something like writing this book is related to the privilege that comes out of my race, my class, education, and upbringing. And she was talking about this with another elder, about how another elder who's also lighter skinned, and they were talking about that phrase that you hear often. It's like, oh, but you don't look Indian.
Mm.
Like, white people will say that. I've heard it a million times.
Yep.
And then that, like, that elder was in the presence of another elder with a white woman, and the elder just kind of like, she's like, you don't need to respond to that. I have plenty of things to say. So the elder replied to this white woman. She's like, she's that way for a reason. She can go to places we cannot go. She can speak in places we cannot speak. We have always had people like her to do the work we cannot do. And people like her have been part of our culture ever since time began. And it just kind of like, it flipped the way that I see myself in this role, because a lot of the privileges I've been afforded, especially in the fashion industry, is because people could consume my work without having to look at my race.
Sure.
And like, mm-hmm. not having to look and not having to sift everything that I do through this lens of like, oh,
this nativeness.
Mm.
And now like I have like these words to almost defend the reason why I didn't use my native heritage in my work from the beginning. I knew it's not that I've never been ashamed of my nativeness, and I've said this many times, but I knew if I was going to make it in fashion, this, like, my 19-year-old brain knew that if I was going to make it, I would need to prove my worth as a designer on my own merit. And the only way I was going to do that is if people couldn't put me in a box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You
and
know,
just
like,
see you for you.
Just see me for my work and for me as my talent, as opposed to you're good for a native kid.
Yeah, it's like,
you're
it's
a,
like,
good,
oh, he's a good
native designer.
Yeah, exactly.
There's this amazing quote from Maya Angelou. She's doing an interview in England, and they're doing her intro, and they're like, poet, actress, director, blah, 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 like her many accomplishments through her life. And she's like, I'm speaking to one of the best Black American authors of our age.
Gross.
And at the beginning, she's like, I'm pleasure to be here. Nice to meet you. She's like, but I need to make a correction. I am one of the best American authors of this age. Thank you very much.
That's not like Black American. Yeah.
Serena Williams as well. And she was talking about, you know, how she's the, you know, the best, you know, female athlete, and based on all of these things that she's won. And she's like, bitch, I'm the best athlete.
I'm the best tennis player, period.
Period, bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, took this guy to task, and everyone's like, yeah! Because it's true. Like, she has the receipts, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And she's just got all those championships.
All those trophies, yeah.
Yeah, I'm always ready to get... I stopped trying to look to the industry and, like, that classic fashion system for validation of my work and like what I choose to do with it now. So it's always nice to go into something like this and hear from someone from my own culture almost validating all of the
that
things
process.
And the reasons why I did the things I did.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people, white or people of color or native people in general, might look at me using my work from the beginning as like a sense that I was ashamed of what I was.
Oh, you were hiding it.
I was hiding it.
Avoiding it.
I was hiding it.
Yeah.
And I 100% use that white passing privilege to get to where I am in fashion.
Yeah.
And I know that I would.
Because racism.
Because of racism.
You have to function in this system that is all around us. And, yeah.
And it's really interesting because I know there's a couple of these, I know people listen to our podcast who are in the fashion industry that we are involved in, like this small Vancouver community, but a lot of people hit the road from supporting me in my work once I started talking about Indigenous issues.
Sure, and that, they're not interested anymore.
And that I knew that was going to happen. I anticipated that.
Yeah.
But it was more of a shock.
It still stings.
Yeah. It the thing is, like, I've gotten to the place where it's like, if I've been given this opportunity, and like in it, and it's an anomaly for someone with my background to take up this much space in an industry that is inherently racist to people who don't fit into that Western style of beauty.
Yeah,
and don't put that message out there
and take the references from the normal places.
Exactly.
And use
the
typical tropes or whatever. Yeah.
So if I'm going to have this space, I'm not going to not talk about the issues my people face. It would be a disservice to them and me and all of the people who did everything for me to be able to be here. And that's all I have to say.
Yeah. And the only way the system's going to change is by things like that happening.
Also, I think as far as this podcast goes, too, that that's one thing that we hear a lot from our listeners. Yeah. It's like, you guys talk about stuff that
you don't hear
a lot talked about, and yet it's a big part of your life, obviously, and your upbringing and
the industry
and how the industry sucks a lot on that front, and how just as a citizen of Canada, this shit has been going on for a really long time. And you can't, the only way to move forward is to start a conversation and put it out there. It's got to be put out there, and people have to understand that it exists and that it's different and it's okay.
And address that discomfort and
get over your privilege. It. Yeah.
Yeah. To close off something really beautiful, the dedication of this book is so beautiful. It's like, to all the Indigenous baby girls being born this minute, this book is for you with recognition and thanks for the tremendous work of your grandmothers who have so lovingly provided the way.
Beautiful. Oh,
that's nice. Mm.
It's hopeful, but still recognizing.
Yeah.
Future and past at the same time.
Which Native women have a wonderful knack
for that sort of thing. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Even if they don't have a PhD.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And can write a big academic tome and get published.
But like, I've never consumed academic texts before, and most of them have been Indigenous writers. And I think like that, the way that they write is so much more community based because Native people know that when they're in academia, especially Western academia, that they're doing work that needs to benefit people who don't have access to these kinds of places.
Right, of course.
And there's no point in writing in overly academic language so people can understand what you're writing about.
Because that's not who they're writing for.
Exactly.
Or about.
Yeah.
And if you're taking the words of people who haven't been in higher education and putting them in a book that is for that, you kind of need to meet in the middle.
Also, it's so easy to sound arrogant in academia because generally you are speaking to your peers who are also academics who are always looking for the next funding. They're always looking for the next thing. They're getting more, accolades and whatever. There's certainly some arrogance in that community. Yeah. And the language that you use when you write like that promotes it.
It's really alienating to the people who need that.
Who need that information. That knowledge. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Or the people who that information is being
about.
Like it's being harnessed or harvested for. Yeah.
I love how you always like bring us up from like serial killers and like a dumb bunch of dumb shit, and then Evan's like, who's never.
Bitch, I talked about cookies like six episodes ago.
That's true. But still, I like that.
Yes.
Like we're talking about
multifaceted.
This is what I'm in. This is my space right now. I'm really.
You're taking it.
Yeah, I'm.
And this is
I'm
your
doing
life.
The work.
Absolutely.
My obsession this week was going to be a shirt that I made that has bananas on it. And I was like, no, I'm going to be more. I'm going to be a little bit more elevated. I'm going to talk about a book.
Serial killers.
And then you one-up me. I love it.
Lordy.
Don't change.
Well, bringing it back to dumb shit.
Is it Moana?
God, no, it's not Moana.
Looking at the water, never really knowing why.
Yes, exactly.
Is it those Shopkins?
Oh, God, please. We went to town on a bunch of Shopkins upstairs. My daughter inherited a bunch from her older cousins.
Is this a square turd?
I do not understand.
What is this? This is a shoe, but it's got a face. Is it spaghetti or a dildo? I don't know. Not Shopkins. This was going to be my obsession last week, but she got bumped. So then I got be able to become more obsessed with her because I got to look at her stuff even more because I got whatever my obsession was last week. The book, Good Omens, the book. So now this girl, a woman, I should say, and she's a grown woman. I don't know if her name is Dami or Dami, D-A-M-I, Lee. She's a web cartoonist. Her bio has her as cartoonist lady person. Loves 90s R&B jams, snacking aggressively, and animals who think they're people.
She sounds like one of us.
Yes.
She's a hag.
She's a hag.
She can add Hag today. Hag.
Put that on the end there. Years ago, I found a comic of her, I don't know, maybe like six or eight frames of something, of a girl looking on her computer and then just bursting into tears, and then her boyfriend coming over and going, oh my God, what's the matter? And then the boyfriend looking at the cartoon, at the screen, and then him bursting into tears, and then them hugging. They just like, that dog is so cute. I just can't even. He's just the sweetest little dog. I understand why you're crying. I'm crying too. The dog is so cute. And it's been saved on my desktop for years. I just keep it there all the time, and I click on it every once in a while, and it makes me laugh. And then recently, I she has a great Facebook page, and she's on Tumblr and like all and Instagram and stuff. And her stuff is awesome. And she draws herself in this like sweatshirt with a fried egg on the front. It's great. But there's a series of pictures of this. I think it's like a borzoi, which is like a long-haired greyhound.
Oh, yeah.
With they're long, weird. Curly, crimpy hair. This dog loves pineapples and gets really excited about pineapples. So there's a series of pictures of this dog seeing a pineapple, looking at the camera, and then grabbing the pineapple. And she converted it into these, like, her style of illustration. And it's just the fucking dog and a pineapple. And she talks about snacks and sleeping and getting sick and being stupid.
The real important issues.
Real important, like references like Devil Wears Prada and all these awesome things. And it's, oh man, there's this one, another comic of her as an old woman. And she's sitting there and she's got the same sweatshirt with the fried egg on it. She's got the same hairdo, but her face is all old. And her little grandchild comes up and goes, Grandma, how did you get this scar on your hand? And she goes, well, many years ago, I was carving T-Pain's face into a pumpkin and the knife slipped. And then there's a picture of the pumpkin with the super shitty T-Pain face on it. Fantastic. Made me laugh so hard. Oh my God. So this Dami Lee girl, woman, she's just, I think she lives in New York City, and she just is, yeah, she works on BuzzFeed and a whole bunch of other web places and then does her own stuff on her own time too. And it's fantastic.
Dami Lee?
D-A-M-I-L-E.
Oh God.
There might be an underscore on her Instagram.
That's so funny.
But the Facebook also, yeah. So if you can find her stuff, I know I got a couple friends who we just constantly just share her cartoons. My friend Oscar and I just like just constantly just posting it on each other. Or if anybody else posts something, we even remotely, and we're like, remember this? Oh, I just found this one. And she's got a lot of old ones that you can go through. And then she's constantly making new ones too. Oh man, it's outstanding.
Good one.
She's a charming, clever, funny lady. Oh yes. So after Evans, very cerebral. She makes.
She also apparently has.
But you know what? It's all about balance.
Called Egg Power.
Oh.
And it's her egg diary, and it's just different.
I didn't even know about that.
And eggs.
She loves eggs.
Omelets. Bagels, fried eggs.
She needs to do a campaign for that, like the egg providers of Canada. Remember those egg commercials?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
That's delightful.
Oh, beautiful. Awesome. There's a picture of a guy dressed up as her for Halloween, like had a wig with two little buns and then like had a fried egg in a Ziploc bag, like stapled to a sweatshirt. So great. And he's like a guy with a beard. Oh, it makes me laugh.
That's good stuff.
Oh, it makes me laugh. It's a good time. So there you go. Yeah, I was happy to delay that obsession for a little bit so I could really just enable infinite scrolling on Tumblr and just go.
That's
go,
the way you got
to
do it.
Go. Yeah, that's the way to do it. Absolutely.
Wait till the kids are having a nap.
Yeah, like take a good half an hour, scroll on through, laugh like a moron. Oh, like a
like a mentally dumb,
deficient
dumb
person. Yes, exactly.
Well, what's our timing?
We've reached the end of the show.
Yeah, I feel like we have.
Yes, we have reached the end of the show.
So, thanks for listening. First and straight up, number onesies. But you guys can find us at all the things.
Mm-hmm. There's all of the things.
The Eggstagram. Find us on Fashion Eggs.
Sounds podcast. Up.
and Twitter. I'm suck at the Twitter.
Oh, the Twitter. I think Dave actually tweeted us that he remembered another designer who uses their first name.
Oh, yes.
Miu Miu.
Oh, right.
It's like a nickname.
That is sort of, yeah.
Because Prada is her last name, Miuccia is her first name, and Miu Miu is her.
It's sort of a nickname from both.
Dave thought of that one.
Okay, good one.
Thanks. He tweeted us, found it like a week later.
Yeah, we're not good at Twitter.
Because we never take the Twitter.
We're really good at
it. We're on there. We're trying. But email us.
It literally took me 2 hours to figure out how to add my brand Twitter to my regular Twitter.
So you can have them both in the same.
So I can toggle back and forth.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And a lot of that was just figuring out the password for.
Oh, I'm the worst at passwords.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna be really, so terrible. I'm gonna make this really high security and use a different password from anything else I've ever used before.
Nope.
No, don't do that.
No, no. I'll make some, and I'm classic with the. I'll make something super easy to remember.
Nope.
No idea. Super easy to forget, turns out.
Yeah, absolutely. Or be like, or realize like it's the name of the movie and the year it came out, and then realize I got the name of the, like, got the year wrong.
Oh, shit.
Like, no, it was 2000, not 2002. Oh, well, shit. Well, it's 2002 now, my password, so.
Well, I guess I have to change that.
Yeah, go IMDb, change.
Go on Wikipedia, change it.
That's easier than remembering what it actually is. Just change every reference to it on the web, on the entire web. Just don't have to change my password.
You go onto Wikipedia to change it so you can take a screenshot of the... the date corrected so that you can remember that that's the right one.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, well. You know what? Whatever system works.
As long as I have to remember another goddamn password. Oh, anyway.
Guys, go shopping and get all the
be
things.
Be mindful.
Kill someone for that parking spot if you have to. I don't care.
Take them out.
I don't care how many people have
push
to.
That baby out of the way.
What the fuck is a baby doing shopping on Black Friday? Get him out of there.
What are you doing here?
He's that is, the line.
That is just, that's child abuse, in my opinion.
Well,
sometimes you got to get those deals in your sitter. What are you going to do?
You got to take your baby. The sitter is at Black Friday.
She has to participate. She has to know what consumers are
more
like.
To grab more Elmos. I need that stroller. I got to pull that shit in that stroller.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to shoplift all the shit out of here.
Under the baby.
This baby's not even real.
Yeah. A shoplift of the baby. Anyway, some nonsense. Oh.
If you want to shop, go to evanducharme.com.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a good one.
Speak of the devil.
There you go. Go for it. So, remember, we love you.
We love fashion more.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Goodbye.